Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. My name is Dave Charest. I'm drinking a Sam Sema. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be talking about Pinterest mistakes to avoid. Who's with me today?
I don't know.
That's you, Kristen.
Oh.
You're with me.
I'm with Dave. I'm also drinking what Dave's drinking. I'm Kristen Curtis, social media specialist at Constant Content.
And I'm Erica Ayotte. I head up the social media team here at Constant Contact, and I'm also drinking a Sam Summer, probably one of the last ones because I've already seen the fall beers coming out.
Fall beers coming out. It's true.
I'm Danielle Carmier, and I'm the social media community manager here, and I'm drinking a Blue Moon.
Blue Moon. So today we're talking Pinterest, and specifically Pinterest mistakes to avoid. The first one we're talking about is mixing your personal personal Pinterest boards with your business-related boards. Kristen, you want to tell us a little something about that?
Sure. So I think it's really easy, especially on Pinterest, to pin things you love as well as what you think your audience would love. And there are definitely ways to do that, but to make it simpler, it just makes more sense to keep your business-related boards separate from personal. Meaning, you don't necessarily, if you run a pet store, you don't want to create your favorite recipes for your family. You could do dog recipes for dog treats, mm-hmm. but you really want to make sure that you're still relating it back to your audience, even if it's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that you're relating it back. It's very easy to find, you know, outfits you love and post it on Pinterest, but if it's not related to your audience.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense.
Why would they want to see
it? So the takeaway is have a personal one. So have a personal profile so that you understand how to use the platform and that you understand the functionality. But if you have a business, create a business page.
Exactly.
Word.
And it's definitely, that's the best thing to do too if you are not on Pinterest yet, to go make a personal one first and play with it and figure out how it works, what people are doing, what you like, how you want to work with it. And then create a business.
Great point.
I think that's just always a good point for any type of social media platform that you're going to use, is test it out as a user first so you can understand how you would use it that way and how the thing works before you actually start using it as your business. So good tip all around.
Totally makes sense.
All right, so don't mix your personal with business. Bam. How about keeping your search privacy turned on? Well, what does that mean, and what does that mean for people, Danielle?
All right, so within the settings of Pinterest, you can turn your search privacy on or off. And this means that search engines like Google are going to index your Pinterest channel. And if you have it turned on, they're not going to, your Pinterest channel isn't going to show up when you search on Google. And that's definitely a no-no. You want people discovering your content, like new customers can come and see what you have on your Pinterest boards, and actually Pinterest is really great for SEO, so that's another aspect of why you're putting all these keywords in your titles of your boards and your pins and your descriptions, so it will help with the search engines.
So that could, could that also be one of the reasons why I've seen people ask sometimes that, like, I've tried to search for my Pinterest and I can't find it, it doesn't come up on the search engines? Could that be one of the reasons they may have accidentally turned that on? Or
I don't know
is that
what
on
the default,
by default?
Is, but it says, the exact text says, keep search engines from showing your Pinterest profile in search results. So you want to select.
So you want to make sure that's on.
Yes.
Or
right.
You want to make sure that's off.
Right. Yeah.
So check your account settings if you've been having issues trying to find your Pinterest page. That might be the reason why. Let's see. Some other things here are not adding a pin description or a link to source pins. What do we mean by that, Erica?
Yeah, so Danielle just kind of touched on that, but really what that means is making sure that you're using the right keywords and descriptive text when you're pinning so that people can, when they're searching either on Pinterest or on Google or another search engine, can find your content. So really approach your pins with an SEO mindset. You can even use hashtags on Pinterest as well. If you use a hashtag in the description, that allows someone to click on that hashtag and a search will open in your Pinterest newsfeed with that term. So be descriptive. Approach it with a search engine mindset so you can maximize your content.
Yeah, I think it seems like it'd be fun to have like witty titles for your boards and things like that, but really you'd want to think more about the search engine aspect of it and think about what people are going to be searching. Maybe they're going to be searching like what to wear to a wedding. Maybe that could be your board if you're some kind of retail shop, things like that. So you would want to name your board something that people would search.
Yeah, good thing to keep in mind is kind of the the crackiness of my chair, the utility of which people use the internet when they search for things, right? Really, they're looking for things specific. They're not looking for, oh, what's the cleverest title to this thing? Like, there's no way people are going to be thinking that way. They're thinking of, I need to find this, and so I'm going to search for what I'm looking for. So that's really an important thing to kind of just keep in mind across just any SEO, right?
Right. And if you're wondering what, you know, if you're trying to figure out what words you should use or what you should title your boards or your pins, what I would recommend that you do is search first and see what other people are using and in combination with those words and you know, choose the ones that occur most frequently.
Yeah. A really simple way to kind of do that, too, is if you just start searching what the thing you're writing about or whatever you're trying to create in, like, Google, it starts to give you that auto-fills, like, what other people are searching for. So that's, like, a real quick way to just be like, oh, okay, lots of people are searching for this type of thing, so that might be something you want to consider using as your term.
Great point.
Let's see, another thing here is actually one of a kind of a newer development with Pinterest, not enabling rich pins. What do we mean by that, Kristen?
So rich pins is actually a really cool feature that they did just add recently. And what you can do is you can add a little bit of code, which they'll give you on the Pinterest page. It's actually in our blog as well, the 25 things that make you look dumb on Pinterest. And you can add that code to your website, and it allows Pinterest to basically talk to your website. So if you have a product and somebody pins that product, it'll actually show on Pinterest how much it costs. If you change that price, it will also change it on Pinterest. If you have recipes on your website and somebody pins or you pin that recipe, it will actually show you the ingredients, the instructions, all of that stuff.
Very cool.
Which is really cool. And they actually also, those are the two, and then there's also movies. So you can, if you have movies on your website, you can actually see all of the information about movies on Pinterest. So those are the three that it affects right now, but they, because it's new, they did kind of hint that there will be more at some point, but those are the three.
Another kind of cool aspect of this too is that, right, like if you're, if, let's say you repin something that you found that had a price on it and that price changes, Pinterest actually sends an alert to the folks that kind of repin those pins and lets them know that the price dropped. So that's actually pretty cool. I mean, it's a great way to kind of get
it's like a sales reminder.
Like, oh, all right, this has gone down. I'll check that out again. That's pretty cool. One of the other things here that is kind of mistakes that we kind of want people to avoid is ignoring your Pinterest analytics.
Yeah, well, you always want to make sure that you, you know, you're tracking your activity against your goals. And so Pinterest, I think, what was it, 6 to 9 months ago, added analytics only for business pages. So if you're only using a profile, you won't see this. So make sure that you're using a business page for your business. There's a lot of different metrics that you can look at, but what Pinterest is really smart, and what they did was really closely tie and put to the forefront Pinterest activity with website activity, because as we know, Pinterest drives a ton of website referrals, more than, I think, Google Plus, YouTube, and LinkedIn combined. It also, beyond the amount of traffic that it drives, Pinterest drives lots of qualified traffic, meaning people are much more likely to buy something when referred from Pinterest versus, say, Facebook or Twitter.
70%
more. Thank you for that stat. So I would say that the critical few stats that you want to look at in your Pinterest analytics dashboard, first of all, if you're trying to track your how you're doing on the platform itself, you want to look at impressions and you want to look at reach. So impressions are the number of times your pin has appeared on Pinterest. So think of it like an ad impression on a website. So what's your saturation? The other is reach, and that's the number of people who might have seen your pin. So there's a subtle difference there. One is how many times something appeared, and the other is how many people saw it. So usually you'll have more impressions than reach, because people will usually see something, or it's possible for them to see something more than once. The other thing you want to look at when we're talking about website referrals is the clicks and visitors. So if you look at your Pinterest dashboard, you'll see a clicks, by day. And that's the number of clicks that came to your website from Pinterest. So it's referrals. So that means if someone saw a pin and then either clicked on the pin itself or one of the other places where the URL is located and landed on your website from that pin. And visitors is the number of people that came to your website from Pinterest. So again, that same sort of thing, people versus number of times. So that tells you what kind of traffic back to your website Pinterest is generating for you.
Very cool. Another thing is really kind of neglecting the Pinterest unique features. We talked about rich pins, which is a great thing. But another thing that they do is actually one of the cool features that I think is a great way to kind of engage your followers and your customers is the ability to create boards that allow people to contribute as guest pinners. Mm-hmm. And you may be wondering, okay, well, how does that work out? Well, some of the cool ways that I've seen it used is I think someone's like a hairstylist, and she would set up a board where people coming in to get a haircut could post pins of the different styles that they'd like on those boards so that when they came in, she would have an idea of what they were looking for. That's a cool way. Another way, a friend of mine actually wrote a book, and he created a pin, a board that he allowed people to guest contribute on. So, hey, if this was made into a movie, who would you cast as the characters in the book?
Oh, that's pretty fun.
Pretty cool, right? I mean, that's just mm-hmm. a great way to just build engagement with your yeah. with your followers and just to do cool things. So, you know, take a look at those things that are unique to Pinterest that really give you a new way to engage with your customers and your followers. It's just a great idea. Another thing here is also, you know, a lot of times we hear a lot about, you know, business to consumer on Pinterest and how it's like, you know, a great kind of sales and people go with the shopping mentality. And that leads a lot of B2Bs or business to business companies to be like, ah, Pinterest isn't for me. But is that true, Danielle?
No. There's definitely a lot you can do as a B2B on Pinterest. You want to just show off your human side of your business. One of our most popular boards is our Life at Constant Contact, and it's just photos of events, employees, inside our office, and people really enjoy getting to see that. But there's also a lot of other B2B stuff. Infographics about your industry. You could pin statistics, graphs, and all the kind of industry news. You can also just use it as a content hub and put stuff from your blog or from other people's blogs that you like and show your customers using your services, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So I think the way to think of it as a B2B, and this maybe not be, it might not be the, you know, stringent for every brand, but if you think about it, for B2Bs, it's much more of a branding play versus a direct response play. So mm-hmm. with B2Bs, it's like Danielle was saying, one of the most popular boards is the Life at Constant Contact because,
yeah.
you know, I guess people are kind of curious, like, who are these people behind the curtain,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. talking to me through this podcast?
Yeah, it invokes that whole no, like, trust, like, part of the sales process, right? And people like to do business with folks that they know, like, and trust. So anything
right.
you can do to kind of show a bit of who's working in your company and who's doing the things and who are the people that they'll be working with is, you know, people like that. After all, it's human nature, right? We're people at the end of the day, and we like
right.
to do know who we're working with.
And if you're stuck for ideas, make sure you follow Constant Contact on
yeah.
Pinterest.
Yeah,
because we have lots of ideas, so feel free to steal from
lots
us.
Lots of boards.
I think to Erica's point, it's easier for a B2B to think about Pinterest in a branding way than usually people think of Pinterest as a web referral
right.
tool. And though you can use it for that in little bits and pieces as a B2B, if you try to do that constantly, it's just not going to work. But if you look at it as more, you know, like Erica was saying, a branding, who are you, what do you do, what is your expertise, then you can definitely see success.
Show off your customers, that's another
mm-hmm.
way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who
Very
are
cool.
you? We want to know.
Hey, if you guys are interested in learning more about Pinterest, we do have an upcoming webinar coming up on the Wednesday, August 28th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. It's called How to Drive Social Visibility and New Business with Pinterest, where we'll be covering things like 7 smart reasons for using Pinterest. We'll be sharing some examples of small businesses using Pinterest in great ways. Also, we'll have some more Pinterest tips and tricks and tools for measuring your Pinterest success. So be sure to check that out. Thanks again so much for listening, and we'll catch you on the next Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable, number 50.
I vote.
All right, guys. Bye-bye now.